But a couple of seconds silence, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Good morning, everybody. I'm Tony Lee, and I have a good friend here who's been with us before a couple of occasions. He's with the Epilepsy Society of Kern County. This is Doug Valdez, and he's the office manager over there. And we like to bring him in every now and then and talk about what's going on with the Epilepsy Society. What are they doing? It is a nonprofit 501c3 type organization, right?
Yes, that is correct, Tony Lee. We are a nonprofit.
So anything anyone donates, that's going to be a good tax write-off. Speaking of taxes, here we are right at tax time.
Yes, that would be a good tax write-off.
So what? Tell me a little bit about epilepsy, because there may be people that didn't get to hear the previous program that we did about it months ago. How many people in our area come to your organization, or how many do you service? How many people do you service, basically?
It depends. There's certain people that won't come out because they're afraid of what other people will think of them.
Hmm. So there's a stigma kind of attached to it.
Yeah, it's like some Hispanics, they're afraid of what their friends will think. Other people, it's the children think they're the only ones that have this problem. Mm-hmm. So it's better when they see, oh, I'm not the only one, and it helps them out.
So how does a person contract or get epilepsy? I mean, I'm going to guess that there are several ways that that can occur.
Yeah. You can be in an accident. You could get something could fall on you, hit. You can have at least one seizure in your lifetime just by age. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just unknown, you know, mm-hmm. and you may be the only one that has it, too. That's the other thing. It's like
in your family, the only
one?
Yeah.
I'm the only one that's ever had this, and I got it because I had a high fever, and then I found out after having a brain surgery that my brain stopped growing and then started growing again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of unusual, isn't it? I mean, I think of it as unusual.
Yeah, it's sort of unusual, but for years, the only thing they could look and say is, we have no idea. It's just, let's use the medicine. Let's find out what works for them.
Now, did that re-spurt of growth, did that cause a problem? Or
I have no idea. That's just what they found out after a third brain surgery.
Mm-hmm. So how are things now with you? How are you doing?
Well, I'm still having my seizures, still doing that, taking medicine.
Mm-hmm. One of my best friends of my early days when I was, golly, I don't know, a teenager, 18, 19 years old, I met a fellow. He and I became just the best of friends. The guy could have been like a brother to me. And I discovered that he had epilepsy. And he was the kind of person that you described that he didn't really want anyone to know. And I guess this was a long time. I mean, we're talking decades ago. And I imagine at that time, there was even more of a stigma attached to pretty much any kind of sickness you might get. But especially something that people didn't understand, such as epilepsy. So he really tried to keep it very, very hush, hush, hush. And I happened to be with him once when he was having a seizure, and it just totally scared me because I had no idea what to do. I thought, I've got to help. I got to do something. And I had no idea what to do. If someone is with someone who has a seizure, I know that there are some do's and there are some don'ts. So let's start with the don'ts. What should you not do?
Well, one of the biggest things is that people with epilepsy that are having grand mal or complex, you hear them gagging. So, oh, we're swallowing our tongue. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't stick your finger in because it could get bitten.
Yeah. But isn't it physically impossible to swallow your tongue? I don't know if that's...
I want to meet the person that can.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Because I've had one person looking. I said, you want to have 9 fingers? Because I know a lady that actually did. The teacher stuck the finger in and she bit it.
Wow.
And he's got an indentation from the tooth for lifetime to remind him of, that was stupid.
That was not a good idea.
Yeah. That's not that. That's one of the biggest things. No, you just roll the person to the side, mm-hmm. let everything mm-hmm. roll out with the saliva, mm-hmm. talk to them. Mm-hmm.
Can they hear you? Can they understand what you're
they'll
saying?
They'll hear it be a little relaxing. Mm-hmm. Okay? If they're shaking a lot, you're going to put something under their head. Mm-hmm. Like, you see me wearing a tie. Mm-hmm. I had a seizure when I graduated. They loosened the tie, mm-hmm. Unbuttoned the jacket, so then I couldn't get injured. Mm-hmm. And then just got you right back together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you just have to ask somebody, what happened? You know, because you're completely... You have no idea what just took place.
Okay, yeah. Well, I know my friend David, when he would have seizures, he would actually kind of go to sleep. He would have to kind of rest for a while. Is that common? I mean, does it take a lot of energy out of a person, or what happens to the person who's having the seizure?
It does take a lot of energy. When I was younger, I would take a 2 to 3 hour nap because after all the shaking and losing your consciousness and everything else, you've just drained yourself. So it's like, I need to re-energize.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what everybody's doing after they've had mm-hmm. their type of seizures.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned don't stick fingers into a person's mouth. That can be dangerous. You can lose one. What other things? I mean, should you put anything in a person's mouth?
No. What you do is just roll them to the side, okay? Mm-hmm. And then just let the saliva come out. Like I said, unloosen the stuff because, you know, they mm-hmm. could choke. Then putting something under their head.
Yeah. So they don't bang their head on the floor.
Don't hit it. And if you're in an office or someplace, move everything away so they don't hit themselves.
Right.
And then they can just have their seizure. Mm-hmm. And you just be there, watch them, mm-hmm. Time it. So then... If it hits 4 minutes, 5 minutes, then you can call an ambulance.
Okay. Because anything up to 4 minutes, it's kind of normal, but over that, you need to call 911.
Yeah, because there's a time when somebody stops having a seizure, and then, like you were talking about the problem of taking a nap, they go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And some people think that you're still having the seizure when you're not.
Okay.
And I was in an ambulance one time after I had had it, and the technician... told me I'd had a seizure for 30 minutes. Mm. I looked and said, I should be dead. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 30 minutes?
Mm. Yeah. Now, I know that there are also several kinds of seizures. You mentioned grand mal, and I've heard of grand petit or something similar to that. I don't know if I got the word right.
It's petit mal, probably can be 5 seconds to 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And person will be doing one thing, black out, and come back. Mm-hmm. And they'll have no idea. Mm-hmm. I've had complex partial. So it involves half my brain. And my hand would go up. I would lose my consciousness. There's that. There's another one that's called narcolepsy.
Your hand would go up.
My hand, part of mine, because that's part of the brain.
Okay.
So this side of my brain was active.
Okay, okay.
For one
person. So it wasn't something you were consciously doing. It was just part of the activity that your brain would just start moving parts of your body and would move
exactly.
Up.
I would do that and maybe talk, and I wouldn't know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, there's another type. We had a person in a support group actually slept through second grade because he had narcolepsy. So he would have a seizure, fall mm-hmm. asleep during class, mm-hmm. wake up, class is over. Mm-hmm. And now you do that the next day. Mm-hmm. So he had to go all through second grade for a second time.
Wow. So now is the narcolepsy, is that the same thing as having a seizure? Or is that?
It is, except instead of being alert and awake, you have it and then you just go to bed. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like I said, people recover. Mm-hmm. He just wakes up and then, okay, mm-hmm. where are we? Mm-hmm. What am I doing? He woke up and class was over. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's just doing that for that type.
Yeah.
You know, there are grand mal, secondary grand mal seizures. There's a great variety of them. Mm-hmm.
Does anyone know what brings a seizure on? What starts it?
If you're up too late, for one, you miss a dosage of seizures. if a light flashes a lot, like a strobe light, mm-hmm. playing and being on the computer too much can mm-hmm. also cause it. They found out, like you hear about these kids that have seizures, it's because they're sitting there playing their video games.
Interesting. Yeah.
So if you sit there, because I would sit when I was younger, mm-hmm. and I'd watch TV for 2-3 hours, all of a sudden I'd have a seizure. I had no idea why. Mm-hmm. There's why. I'd listen to music, mm-hmm. same thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what helps to cause some of that right there.
Interesting. Folks, in case you just joined us, we're talking about epilepsy because there are some events coming up. There are things coming up that you can actually participate in. And the Epilepsy Society of Kern County is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. They need money in order to function. So to do what they do. And we're going to talk about the kinds of things that they do, the support groups that are out there, the programs they have, and of course the fundraiser that's coming up soon. All of that's going to be laid out for you. But before we got there, I thought it would be nice to just kind of lay out some information about epilepsy, because there are some myths that are associated with that, some untruths. And then fill in with a little information of what should you do. And we'll talk about that in a moment. We're going to take a short break. We've talked about what not to do. When you come back, we'll talk about what you should do. We're back again. I'm speaking with Doug Valdez, a good friend of mine from the Epilepsy Society of Kern County, and he's the office manager over there. And epilepsy has sort of been, I guess, a companion, shall we say, of mine for many, many years, because, as I mentioned, one of my first, earliest, really dearest friends happened to have epilepsy, and I had just no idea what to do when he had a seizure. And I was feeling helpless. I was feeling, you know, what if something bad happens, he hurts himself or whatever, and I didn't help. I didn't do something. What can a person do, or what should a person do?
Well, like I was saying, it's taking for a person now the saliva, it can build up. So it's rolling them to the side. Mm-hmm. If they have anything on, a tie, loosening it, mm-hmm. taking that so then they can't choke on it, mm-hmm. loosening that. Then if they're in an office or someplace, getting things around them, get it away from them. Mm-hmm. Just leave them on their back, time it, talk to them, mm-hmm. nice and soft, and then put something under their head so they don't hurt themselves.
And again, the purpose for timing it is because if it's over 4 minutes, you said that's a danger signal, you need to call 911.
Yes, 4 to 5 minutes, then it's calling 911 because it's exceeded that point to where it's looking and you're going, wow. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are they really going to ever come out of this? Or, I mean, does that happen that people go into a seizure and they just don't come out without some medical intervention?
It can. It's narcolepsy. It's mm-hmm. a nonstop seizure. It does have to have medicine. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there's narcolepsy. That's a nonstop, and you can do that.
Okay. Now, when a person is diagnosed with having epilepsy, I know that there are some medications, I guess, that are available. And I would hope that they've gotten better over the years, or are they still doing the same things now that they did 10 or 20 years ago?
The medicine's gotten better, okay. They last longer. That's the other thing. They can last for 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So you can take less. It's just the side effects that are still there.
Okay. And what are those side effects?
The depression. You're tired, sleepy, you think of suicide, you're losing hair, just a variety, depends on the medicines mm-hmm. that you're taking. Some can help you gain weight, lose weight. Mm-hmm. The woman I married took a medicine called Topamax, mm-hmm. one of the best diet medicines around. Mm. My neurologist told me only 400. Mm-hmm. Because of just like those other medicines, those things you hear about, oh, this will make you think about you've already eaten, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what that did. And she went up to 600 milligrams. She could only eat once.
Oh, boy.
And then they snack. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, She got down to 120 pounds, and that's the biggest side effect of that one.
Mm-hmm. But that's sort of, for some people, they'd consider that a good thing, a positive side effect.
But the only other problem was I had, when we went out to eat, every female wanted to know she was taking to look so skinny.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. And where are we medically in terms of being able to cure epilepsy? Now, we know, and I should say this to make sure everybody else knows, you're not a doctor, so I don't want to put you in a position of trying to answer a question that only a physician would have the answer to. But, and so, folks, if you have any of those kinds of questions, you might need to actually talk to your physician to get some, you know, medical information. But since Doug has had epilepsy for such a long time, just from your personal experience, there are things that you might happen to know. So what treatment-wise, how are things? Is it better than it used to be?
Yeah. I've had seizures for 46 years. So from 1970, I took the beginning medication on up all the way through all the treatments, and the neurologist I had was with the FDA. So he's always informed me of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the treatments, there's the medicine that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for people that have had 10 or more medicines and hasn't worked, there's an option of maybe surgery.
Hmm.
The other type is called the vagus nerve stimulator. That's for people that have maybe 20 to 30 seizures a day.
Wow, that's a lot.
And then if you think of a pacemaker, okay, it's the same idea, and it's going to go on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And when these people feel it come on, they swipe it, and it's going to trigger it.
Mm-hmm.
And that just goes on and off for 24 hours. Then the physician can adjust the medication varying.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a computer, the doctors place something over it, and it's able to read how many times it's been on and off, how many times they've swiped it, and then adjusting, because it's like medication, they take and adjust the levels.
Okay.
And so how long it's on, how long it's off. I know this because my wife got it, and when we got married, she told me she had it going on every 5 seconds, so she wouldn't have a seizure. I looked and went, "You what?"
Hmm. That sounds like a lot.
Well, it is. If you just snapped your finger, Tony, you'd probably be done.
Wow.
And then it's back.
Yeah.
But it's, for these people that have it, the other thing is you end up with one of the biggest side effects is having a hoarse voice. So if you talked really like with a dry throat, these people have to talk like that, but they have to keep on talking. So then after so long, they're back to a normal voice. And you can, you know, hear them.
So then when you began having seizures back in the very, very beginning, what were some of the things that you thought as a person who was dealing with this? How did you look to your future? What did you expect life to be like from that point forward?
I really didn't know. I just went with the flow. And when the society was here, but nobody knew about it, that was a help. But then going to school and, you know, having to stand up for myself because people, like you were saying, a lot of diseases, people sort of push people aside. And you know, epilepsy being 400 years old, nobody really, you know, believed in it. And of course, I'm a wizard. Woman that has it is a witch. They believe, well, that the witch trials.
Yeah, yeah. There
that's
were a
what
lot of
that was
that
about.
Had epilepsy that
they
were,
had epilepsy, and so they got burned at the stake.
They thought they were communicating with the devil or some silly thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You're being controlled by the devil and you're doing things for him. You know, so it's sort of like, let's get real, okay?
Yeah, I'm glad those days are over. That's I can't imagine how human beings ever got so ignorant that that would be the solution they would come to because of a physical malady or a medical issue. But I guess, you know, in pre-medical times when we didn't know much about the human body and even less about the mind, I don't know, I suppose they could come up with a little bit of anything. Nowadays, though, we have a lot of treatments out there. And is there any possibility that in the near future that we will see a cure for epilepsy?
Well, hopefully. There's been three other ways that they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
One's called a ketogenic diet, and it consists of fats, basically. And they do that, and there's an oil, and it's measured for children. And you can do that. And they do that, and there's only a certain amount of each thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be, I think, pretty addictive, because the woman that I dated and married took that, and I've never seen one woman eat 32 hot dogs in 1 week, but she could.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Because it's a fattening food, mm-hmm. and mayonnaise and everything else. And this is what was in that diet, because
mm-hmm.
it helped slow down the brain
mm-hmm.
for children.
So now she's been on both sides. She had something that made her want to eat forever and then had something that didn't want to make her eat at all. So, I mean, how is she doing? How is she today?
Well, she was on the VNS and they were adjusting the medication, to my last knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that can do that. It can work for a long time for somebody
mm-hmm.
and then maybe stop working, because the problem is that this has a battery in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to keep on having surgeries.
If the battery
goes low, they have to go in and then take it out.
Uh-huh.
This surgery only lasts 1 hour.
Uh-huh.
So that's what's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just recover and they're okay.
Okay. So it's an office kind of surgery as opposed to having to go into a hospital where you're in there 2 or 3 days?
It's just going into a hospital. You're there for an hour. They've done this and hooked it up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're done with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess that isn't too bad. We're going to take another break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the events that are coming up. There is a fundraiser coming up. So, folks, I want you to get something to write on so you can make a note of the date and the time and the location. And we'll even talk a little bit about what Doug may need, what the Epilepsy Society may need out there. I don't know if you need volunteers or if you need more donations or if you need some in-kind donations like food or gifts for raffles or whatever, but we're going to talk about all that, and I want you to be able to make a note so you'll know what's coming up. And we'll also give you phone numbers, we'll give you the website and other information so that if you're driving and you can't write all this stuff down, you'll still have a place you can go to get it so you can become part of the solution. So hang on, we'll be right back. We're back again. I'm Tony Lee. Doug Valdez is with me as the office manager from the Epilepsy Society of Kern County, and which I guess all of that is probably part of your website. How do people find you if they want to look you up on the web to get a hold of some information about epilepsy and about the society?
Well, they go to www.epilepsysocietyofkern.org.
Okay.
They'll find the society. They would find a fundraiser, and it would tell them about the upcoming fundraiser right now, and then they would find out about the support group and other programs that we do.
Mm-hmm. Now, I did tell people to get something to write on because I want to tell them, or I want you to tell them, where and when all the information about this fundraiser coming up. What kind of fundraiser? What's going to happen?
Well, it is Mud Volleyball.
Okay.
This is its 24th annual year
mm-hmm.
to do this.
Now, there was 1 year when you didn't get to do it because of the drought.
Yes, that's right. We didn't do it, and some of the people that had teams donated the money
mm-hmm.
and stuff to us
mm-hmm.
for that one reason.
Okay. But this year, we've had rain. In fact, the river's flowing. The lake is full. Plenty of mud out there for you, huh?
I think there's going to be plenty of mud. It's going to look interesting this year.
Mm-hmm.
We should have all the courts. So there'll be 16 courts that'll be played on. It'll take place on June 24th at Stramler Park.
Now, do you have to make the courts? I mean, since you're dealing with mud, you don't go to regular volleyball courts, I guess, do you?
No, we have the volleyball nets and stuff.
Okay.
And what we do is I have teams that volunteer and set up the nets for us.
Mm-hmm.
So the courts get set up by them, and I have other teams that'll take them down
mm-hmm.
on that day as we go through
mm-hmm.
to do that.
Now, are those volunteers? Because I did ask people, or I kind of pre-warned them that you might be needing some volunteers. Who does all that setup and all that takedown?
The teams that volunteer their time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like they're doing in-kind because they've paid for their team, right? And mm-hmm. they've got everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they do that and they take it down and I've got my teams that are going to do this,
mm-hmm.
then the check, we won't deposit it, but they get, they're going to play
mm-hmm.
and do that stuff
okay.
for that.
So how do you stand in terms of the having enough people for those teams? Do you have all of what you need, or do you need more?
Well, I'm going to need more teams. I know that. And mm-hmm. what happens is at the end of the month, I can expect that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to get the shirt sizes, the teams,
mm-hmm.
and the teams have to have at least 6 players minimum, mm-hmm. maximum of 10, and it has to have at least 2 females
okay.
on it.
That's interesting. You have to have 2 females on the team.
Yeah, well, so they're going to be on the court. So the idea mm-hmm. is if you had at least 3 females, so then they could rotate in and out.
Okay.
Because I have teams that have 6 players, so 2 are females.
Mm-hmm.
If you play half the day
mm-hmm.
and you're in mud,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get a little tired. So, you've got 4 guys and 2 girls. That's not quite fair.
So you don't have any all-male or all-female teams. They're all mixed and integrated
yes.
that way.
It's a co-ed fundraiser.
That's interesting. Yeah,
and the teams make their own shirts, we've told them.
Okay.
Because the first year we did this, we had the T-shirts. People went, got yeah. filthy,
mm.
and then washed them in. They got worse.
Oh, boy.
So it's, yeah. No, they make up their own teams. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting to see my one team has to come up with their costume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a team that comes in costume.
And I was wondering, when you said that, I wondered, is that part of the deal, is that you must come in a costume, or you can if you want to? Or
they can come up with their own. I've had teams that come up with T-shirts that have numbers. There's businesses that do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got one that actually does put on customs. They had tutus that had rainbows on them. One thing that was good, and I wish they would have told me, they came in brides and grooms.
Uh-huh.
I just announced, the one thing they didn't tell me is I needed the priest. I would have performed the marriages.
Okay.
Hey, they all came in purple
yeah.
Last year because Prince had passed, but...
Yeah,
when
yeah.
they told me that, I talked to the GJ, and they were either going to sing one of the songs or get up, and they had to dance
yeah,
to the
yeah.
music in front of everybody else.
Right. Wow. So then if a person comes up with an idea and they want to have a team, what's the first thing that they need to do? I imagine somewhere along the way they're going to have to register to let you know that they have a team.
Yes, they can get the information off the website,
mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
but they'd have to white out the 2 and put a 7 on it.
Okay.
Okay, they can come to the society at 5117 Office Park Drive and pick up a packet, and then they have to come up with a name for the team, a captain, a co-captain, the players that are going to play, and then their T-shirt sizes,
mm-hmm.
so we can have this.
Now, you're going to provide T-shirts, or?
Yes, we've done that every year. We've okay. always had a different T-shirt for the teams.
But that's not what they wear in the competition when they're actually in the mud, I guess, because you mentioned the costumes. So
what that order? And just having T-shirts that they're going to wear for their team.
Okay.
So then it's like you've got... This is my T-shirt
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to wear, you know, whenever I want.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I can throw in the garbage that's sitting over there in the dumpster
mm-hmm.
because it's worthless.
After you get through with the mud, yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole point, is it's worthless.
Right. So don't wear something that you might want to use next week at church or something like that.
Well, basically, yeah, that's why we inform them. Make a team T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't matter. but do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's come up with a unique name and co-name. Mm-hmm. I've got a gentleman that's a plumber. I said, Muddy Plumber. Mm. You know, just something that deals with that. I've got, hey, how about Mud, Sweat, and Beers? Well, you're in the mud, you're going to sweat, and you're going to drink beer.
Okay.
So they do that. Uh-huh. It's you have some unique names that come up. Yeah. Nutty Muddy Buddies.
Nutty Muddy Buddies. That's almost hard to say.
Well, that's the name of a team that's going to play and has been playing for years.
Right, right. What other, what interesting costumes do you see or have you seen?
Well, it's that one team.
The tutus. I can't get that out of my mind.
The bride and groom, they came in camouflage.
Right.
The Duck Dynasty. So okay. They had the beards and the mustaches.
Right.
And they were all dressed up like that.
Can you imagine beards full of mud? Oh, that's gonna be a mess.
My one thing was I wanted to know how they kept the tutus clean.
That may be too much information. I don't know if I want to know that.
Hey, no, I looked. I thought it was, there was no mud on them.
No mud on the,
no. Nope.
How did they do that?
That's my question. That's what I wanted to know.
Wow. Okay.
So, mm-hmm. And people just have to register, come on in with all the information, mm-hmm. The money. Like right now, this month, it's $300 mm-hmm. to register up till the 30th of April. And then in May, it goes up to $350.
Okay, so right now, it's $300 to register, but then it will be $350 after, that date again?
May 1st.
May 1st. So where does the money go? What happens? We get the money in. First of all, how much are you hoping to get? And how does what you're hoping to get compare to what has come in on a regular basis in the previous years?
Well, I don't know what we normally get in a total, mm-hmm. okay? But it goes towards, like, for paying the bills, for the support group mm-hmm. to do things, okay? Then for some programs that mm-hmm. we have, like I have one that assists people with medication. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're short on medicine, and they can call and tell us the medicine, and I can call other pharmacies and see if I can get a better price, mm-hmm. and then maybe get something filled up and get a check. We've had some where it was for transportation mm-hmm. to get to see your doctor. And I do personal counseling to help people understand mm-hmm. because the society is not just meant for people with epilepsy. It's meant for the family, the friends, and everybody else. Mm. So then they understand it. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was going to wonder, too, is who can come to the support groups? Because, you know, like in my case, I don't have epilepsy. I don't have anyone in my family that does. But I consider myself a person who really would like to know about it because I've had very close friends who have had it. And I may have friends in the future who will have epilepsy, and I want to know what to do and how to be a good friend, how to best help them if they need my help, or should I just get out of the way, or what should I do? What's my role in this?
It's to help explain, to tell them what happened, mm-hmm. and everything else, so they have the information. So.